Matthew chapter 1. We're still in our series we're calling Portraits, but we've reached the Gospels. So we looked at Zechariah from Luke chapter 1 last Sunday night. And as I mentioned, we're going to go through the Gospels chronologically. That's why we'll be skipping around a little bit, which is why we've gone from Luke now back to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at, from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 down to verse 25, Joseph. He seems to be the quiet one in the Christmas story. You know, we talk about Mary and the baby Jesus and the shepherds. Joseph is there too. So we're going to look at him this evening and try and put ourselves into Joseph's shoes a bit this evening. There's a lesson we can learn from his life and what he went through. But Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, as the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That's right. Lord, we're thankful tonight for this account in the Word of God, and again, something that we can learn. So we ask that you would bless this time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the Winter Olympics are upon us, and there's some incredible athletes in the Winter Olympics, and you watch them do their sports, and you can tell they're just in peak physical condition, and they have trained for this moment. They've been preparing for the last 4 years for competing in this, and watching all of that and reading articles about them, it makes me think about fitness and athletic performance and training and like fitness goals. On and off, I've had one fitness goal that's a flexibility goal. And have you ever seen someone do the splits, right? Do a split. And you're like, that's very impressive, you know? And it takes a lot to be able to be that flexible and to stretch. And, you know, I've been doing some stretching and no, I cannot do the splits. And no, that's not what I've been trying for, but how funny would that be if right on stage I was like, watch this. Super impressive. My goal is a lot less than that. It is to touch my toes, because I am not very flexible, and it's always been something that I've struggled to do. You know, you have to do that in like gym class. They're like, touch your toes. I'm like, what? I cannot do that. So there have been times, you know, in my life where I've really tried to do this. And so I've done, you know, stretching routines to, you know, stretch your legs, to try and be able to do that. And if I work at it for like several weeks, I can get there with effort. But then if I stop stretching for like several days, it's like I lose it. Right. But like flexibility is important, right? In athletics, when you watch these athletes, they are flexible and they've worked on that and they've trained that. The less flexible you are, the more prone you are to injury in sports. The more flexible you can be, probably the better you will be at your sport. And the more efficient you'll be in those sort of movements. Flexibility is valuable for athletics and for sports, but we also know that flexibility is valuable just in life in general, just being a flexible person. They say that like the palm trees in Florida, the reason they can withstand hurricanes is because they bend with the wind and they don't try and just stand there and withstand it. They are flexible. And for us in life, I think we've come to realize that being flexible with the way life works is a valuable trait to have. When we look at the story of Joseph, he needed to be pretty flexible with all the changes that he went through and the way that his plans were disrupted by the plans of God. And it talks about Joseph's plans, right? And we catch these from this passage that Joseph had met a girl named Mary. They were a spouse, they were engaged, and he was planning to be married to her, have a wedding, and I'm sure all the plans were in place. And here they are engaged, and all of a sudden, if you put yourself in Joseph's shoes, all of a sudden his world is rocked with the news that Mary is pregnant, and he knows he's not the father. And all of a sudden, he's like, what is going on to all that I was planning to do? And what else could he assume but that she was unfaithful? And I don't know the conversation they had or the conversations that they had. And you can understand that perhaps on Joseph's part, there was a bit of skepticism where she was like, it's Immaculate Conception, right? And he's going, okay. And you find him in verse 19 thinking through, like, what am I going to do now? Like, put her away privately and you know, or there was the option of bringing her before, like, to the gate of the city and dealing with it before the judges. And in the Old Testament, it talks about this. And it says the penalty for this was death. They would take you to the gate and stone those that were in adultery. And he had that right to do this, to bring her there and deal with it that way. And he's just thinking through this, like, what am I going to do? And you look at Joseph, and before the angel talks to him and explains things to him, I wonder how difficult this was for him to have had these plans that he was going to marry this girl that he loved, and they were going to have this life together. And all of a sudden he gets this news, and now it's gone. Like, the plans that he had for his future were over with. And now he's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? And just trying to, like, think through what he might have been going through, right? What would this have done to his reputation? You know, that all of a sudden he's in the middle of this scandal. He's probably thinking through this. Is this going to affect his business? Are people now going to be like, we'll pick another carpenter instead of Joseph because of this? His reputation in town, what will people say with all that is going on? And sometimes we read the Christmas story and we're like, oh, how wonderful it was. But for Joseph, before it was explained to him what actually happened, it was not great. And Joseph had to have struggled with this, because in verse 19 he says, I'm gonna have to put her away privately. It's done. My future that I was envisioning with this girl is now over, and it's done. But then God sends an angel to Joseph in verse 20, while he thought on those things. And those were not happy thoughts. Those were not thoughts of, I'm excited about the future. Those were thoughts of, what has happened? Everything has fallen apart. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I don't know if, it doesn't say if she tried to explain this to him, and she tried to make it clear and and he didn't believe her, or whether they didn't have a conversation about this. But now this angel appears and tells him, all right, back to the original plan. You are going to take Mary as your wife because she is pregnant with the Messiah, with Jesus Christ. This is of God. So now there's a new plan. There had been the original plan, just get married and lead their simple life. Then there was the plan of, now she's pregnant, I'm going to put her away privately, I'll make a big scene for her sake. And now there's this new plan, which is kind of back to the original plan, but it's the Messiah. This baby that's going to be born is the Son of God. And it's like, in a matter of probably days, this plan has gone all over the place. And what Joseph had originally planned was changed and disrupted by God's plans. And God lays out a very different plan than Joseph was planning on. And what now would be plan C for Joseph was originally plan A for God. All the way along, this is what God had decided. And as we read what the angel speaks to Joseph and what the angel tells Joseph, we can find there's a message for us about why we need to be flexible and why we can be flexible when God disrupts our plans. When what we have laid out and what we are thinking is going to happen and what we are working toward and planning for, when God disrupts it, there's some reasons why we can be flexible and go with what God has planned. And here's the first reason. There's two this evening. We can be flexible because we know that God knows what he's doing, because we trust that God knows what he's doing. In verse 21, Joseph is told that Mary will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And then it goes on to quote that prophecy. So Joseph is told that this has been planned for a long time. God knows what he's doing. It was probably a couple of months ago. I was at Stop and Shop, and I was looking for something that Erica wanted me to get. I can't remember what it was, but I remember I was, like, pretty confident I knew where it was, kind of the general area. So I went to the aisle that I thought it was in, and I'm looking around and I can't find it. And so you kind of, like, you're in that spot, and then you broaden your search a little bit. And then I was like, maybe it's the next aisle over. So I go to that aisle, and I went to, like, another aisle after that, and I could not find whatever this was. So then I was like, all right, we're gonna go aisle by aisle until I find this. Right? So I was, like, up and down every aisle, and I did some aisles multiple times. And I was like, I cannot find this. I don't remember how I probably ended up asking somebody there. But I was looking back at that going, there's probably someone up in the, like, the security center watching. I don't know if they have security cameras or if there is anybody watching them. But they're probably looking at me at it going, that guy has no idea what he's doing. is very clearly his wife sent him to get something and he is struggling to find it. But watching me go like back and forth and around, no idea what I'm doing, right? And sometimes life is like that for us. But I wonder if we've ever wondered, does God know what he's doing, right? Do we ever look at life and go, what is God doing? Like, does he know what he's actually doing? I wonder if Moses ever thought that. You know, remember when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? And there's that whole conversation where Moses goes, Lord, here's the reasons why I can't do it. And I wonder if Moses was like, does God know what he's doing? Asking me to do this, the guy who has trouble speaking. I wonder if Moses had that thought. Like, I really wonder if God knows what he's doing. I wonder if Gideon thought that, right? Because God called Gideon and Gideon's like, me? Like, fight and lead the army against the Midianites? I am the least of my family. My family is the least in my tribe. The tribe is the least in Israel. And he goes through and talks about why he can't do it. I wonder if there were times in Israel's history. I know there were times in Israel's history where they're being led through the wilderness. They're like, God doesn't know what he's doing, right? Why would he bring us here? He's brought us here to kill us. He told us he was going to bring us to the promised land, but how is that going to happen? And all their complaints. I think there was probably a time in Jonah's life where he's like, what is God doing, right? What is God doing having me go to the people of Nineveh? What is God doing sparing the people of Nineveh when they deserve to be judged? I think Peter wondered what Jesus was doing when Jesus talked to the disciples about how he's going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. And Peter stands up and says, let it not be so. And he had to have wondered, what is Jesus saying? What is he doing? Going to go to Jerusalem and get crucified? That's not what the Messiah is supposed to do. I think there's a lot of people in Scripture who wondered, what is God doing? And there are times in our life where we have that same question where life and the way God handles our life seems to be very confusing and convoluted and just changing in ways that we don't understand. I've done a lot of mazes in my life and kind of two different types, right? There's the maze on paper where you just got your pen or your pencil and you're following it through, and I feel like I'm pretty good at those. You know, I'm pretty fast at them and I can find my way through. And it generally doesn't take me that long. I don't make that many mistakes. There are some, not to brag, but I've done without making any mistakes. I don't know if it's a God-given gift or if I'm just doing really easy mazes. And you can decide on which one you think that is. But, right, like paper maze, and you can find your way through pretty quick. So I've done those type of mazes. I've also done the corn maze in Preston, right, a number of years in the fall. And I really enjoyed doing that. But man, it's an entirely different experience in a corn maze, because half the time you have no idea where you are. You're like, I don't know which way to go. I think the entrance is that way, but I'm not entirely sure. There's two bridges generally in there, and you get to one, you're like, I know which bridge I'm on. You go up on the top, you go, actually, I'm on the other one, the other side of the corn maze. You're taking turns and going, I think this is the way. You go, does this look familiar? Have I seen that corn stalk before? And you spend the whole time going, I'm not really sure where I am or where I'm going, but let's take a left here and then we'll go right and see where this leads. It's this entirely different experience. And the difference is the paper maze, you can look at it and see the beginning and see the end. And if you look at it for a second, you can see the path from one to the other. When you're in the corn maze, you can't see it. You know what I need in the middle of that corn maze is? I need someone. Maybe Will, I'll have you do this. Take a helicopter, fly above the maze, and then just call me and tell me where to go, right? Someone who can see the whole thing, see where I'm going, and then I just follow his directions. And he goes, all right, take a left here, and then go straight. Don't turn there, keep going, and you'll find what you're looking for. And this is what God is for us, right? Because we are in the middle of that maze going, what? Like, this doesn't make sense to me. Have I been here before? Why am I taking this turn? I don't know where I am. And yet God sees it all. And God sees every turn. And there are times where God says, all right, I'm going to make you turn this direction. We go, why? Pretty sure it's that way. Like, I think I need to be going that way. I was planning on going that way. And God says, no, I want you to turn this way. God knows what he's doing in all of this. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows the path that we should take. And God always knows what he's doing. How do we know, though? How do we know that in Joseph's life, that God knew what he was doing? That God wasn't making it up as he went? And it's verse 22. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. God had literally told them ahead of time. God had written it down ahead of time that this is what was going to happen. It's a quote from Isaiah 7 and verse 14, that a virgin would conceive and have a son. You'll call his name Emmanuel. He will be God with us. That's how Joseph knew he wasn't just making it up as he went, because God had told him. We could go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where right after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God tells them about this plan. Now, it doesn't have the specifics that it has in Isaiah chapter 7, but it was the plan all the way from the beginning. From the beginning, God knew what he was doing. God has always known. As we follow God through life, we can be flexible. And when God disrupts our plans, go with God's plans because we know that he knows what he's doing. We don't. We're in that maze looking at a dead end or at a turn that we don't expect and saying, what is going on? God knows what he's doing. God sees it all. So we can be flexible because God knows what he's doing. But here's the other reason. If you look at verse 23, and the other reason is we can be flexible because God has a point to it all. God's got a point to what he's doing. God's got a point to the plans that he is making. And we're told that a virgin shall conceive, shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. Verse 25, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, around Christmas, you hear the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Jesus is the reason for all this. And Jesus was the reason that the shepherds were there. Jesus is the reason that the wise men came and presented their gifts. Jesus was the reason for the star. But you know, in Joseph's life, Jesus was also the reason for an awkward pregnancy that Joseph didn't understand. Jesus was the reason for a lot of confusion in Joseph's life, where he was like, wait, what is happening? Why is my life falling apart? Jesus was the reason that Joseph was forced to contemplate a situation where it probably felt like he had no good options. Like, what was he going to do when he found out Mary was pregnant? Jesus was the reason for all the questions and the confusion in Joseph's mind. But when he was told about who this was, he understood that there was a point to everything. There was a point to what God had done. And by the end of chapter 1, we've come to the conclusion that it was a pretty good reason. God had a pretty good reason for disrupting Joseph's plans and for bringing this all about. We ask the question, why, a lot. I think it's on our minds a lot, and especially when God changes our plans. But it's a question we don't always have the answer for. And as a pastor, and Pastor Meter will tell you, people ask why all the time, right? And there's nothing wrong with asking why. And I don't mind people asking why. But even as a pastor, like 99.9% of the time we go, I don't know the specific answer for that question. We can talk generally about why things happen and in broad terms about why, but people are looking for specifics. We're looking for like actual, like specific reason for why. And we usually don't have that answer. And we have to say, well, only God knows. Only God knows why. Joseph heard this specific reason why. Joseph got the privilege of knowing exactly why God had done things the way that he did things. We don't always know that. But God always knows why. God always has a reason why. God always has an answer to that question why. He has a point to everything he does. Everything he allows, everything he disallows, God has a point to all of it. Part of the flexibility of faith is that we can be okay not having a specific answer to the question why. That we can rest in the fact that God knows why, and that can be good enough, right? Trusting that God has a point and God has a reason for what happens. And I look at Joseph and say, well, what a way to have all his questions answered, right? Have you ever wished that it, like, just an angel? Just send an angel and he will answer all of my questions, right? He'll come and tell me everything I need to hear and explain everything. But I was thinking about this. Even what the angel told Joseph might not have answered all Joseph's questions. Because if we put ourselves in his shoes, I can see myself. You know, I'm laying there and thinking on these things, and then the angel appears and gives me this information and then goes away, right? And then I lay there and think about it some more and go, well, I still have a couple questions. One would be, why me? Why me? Why couldn't you have disrupted someone else's life? Why me? Why now? Right? Couldn't you have waited till maybe a better time? I've got a lot going on and now this is dropped into my lap. Why did it have to be now? Why did it have to happen this way? Couldn't there have been a different way to do this? And my point is, we can always have questions and not enough answers if we want to. We can just keep asking why, and even what may be revealed to us may not answer all the whys that we have, answer all of those questions. Trusting God is the only answer. Trusting God is the answer to why. Just saying, Lord, you know. And does that answer the question why? Not maybe in the specifics that we might be wanting, but that is the answer. Lord, I trust you. Why? Why did God do this? I trust God. Why did God allow this? Lord, I trust you. Why, Lord, did you bring this into my life? The answer is, Lord, I trust you. I trust that you have a reason, that you have a point in all of this. I may not know what it is. I may not be able to see it. I may not have an angel come to me at night and tell me what's going on, but Lord, I trust you. And we take that with the flexibility of faith, saying, Lord, you've changed my plans. You have disrupted the plans that I have, but Lord, I trust that you have a reason and a point to all of this. When God changed Joseph's plans, he had a reason. There was a point to it. There was a purpose. It was for the Messiah. Joseph's plans were changed. And we know, having lived as long as we've lived, that plans change. And sometimes we really struggle to be flexible when they change for the worst. It's generally not when they change for the better. I never struggle when a box of donuts shows up unexpectedly. I'm like, I was not planning on donuts. But I never really struggle with that. I may struggle if I'm expecting donuts and they don't show up. That might be an issue. We generally struggle when plans change in a way that we think is worse. That we were planning for something and then all of a sudden it doesn't. God changes that. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Joseph's mental or emotional state as he went through this, as God disrupted his plans. But I can't imagine that this wasn't difficult for him to process and for him to work through. But what else we find in this is just because the path is difficult doesn't mean it's wrong. Just because it's not easy doesn't mean we're on the wrong path or that things have gone wrong. I don't think this was easy for Joseph because this was not the way it was supposed to go. It was not what he was planning for. And I wonder if it ever crossed Joseph's mind that maybe he made a mistake in picking Mary. Right? Before the angel comes to Joseph, before he knows anything about what is going on, I wonder if he thought he made a mistake. If he messed up. Like I shouldn't have picked Mary, because now look at what happened. But just because things are difficult or uncomfortable or even scary to us does not mean that we have made a mistake. It does not mean that things have gone wrong. It doesn't mean that it's not going according to plan. The question, I guess, is whose plan? Because just because it's not going to our plan doesn't mean it's not going according to God's plan. And we need to be flexible because God's plan might involve our plans changing and changing to the point where it might be embarrassing for us, because I bet this would have been embarrassing for Joseph. I don't know how long it was between he found out that Mary was pregnant and the angel showed up to tell him what was going on. But it had to have been embarrassing for him to think that this was now going on in his life. And I wonder if he heard any comments about him or Mary or the choices he had made or why the situation was the way it was. And I wonder if it wasn't something that caused some embarrassment, at least in Joseph's mind, that he was a part of this and caught up in this. But you know, if we've been following God and trusting God and doing what is right, then really we have nothing to be embarrassed about. And Joseph had been. Joseph had been doing what was right. He was a just man. He was a good man. And we find that in his life. He had been doing what was right. If we're just following God and we are trusting God and doing what is right, then when God disrupts our plans, it doesn't mean we've made a mistake somewhere along the lines. It doesn't mean that we have to be embarrassed or ashamed of the way God has changed things in our life. We need to really do what Joseph did. Because after all of it is said and done, in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He just did what he was supposed to do. The angel said, all right, take Mary to be your wife. And Joseph raised from sleep and he went and did it. He followed the path God had laid out before him. It wasn't the exact path that he had planned. The plans had changed, but he went with it. He said, all right, this is what God has. I'm going with it. And who cares what people say? I'm going with the plan that God has laid out before me. Just keep doing what's right, even when God disrupts our plans. One of the things I found out about flexibility is that it hurts. It hurts to try to be flexible, right? I'm doing those stretches for 30 seconds and it kills like the back of your knees, right? And you're pulling on muscles or tendons or whatever's back there, right? And you're holding this stretch and it is not comfortable. You're happy when that 30 seconds or minute is over and you can stand back up again and go, oh, it feels so much better to not have to be flexible. And it's true in the Christian life that it's like the flexibility of God's disruptions that really stretch our faith. And in those times, it is uncomfortable. It is difficult to be stretched in that way. But a flexible faith is a better faith. It's a healthier faith because it's a faith that really trusts God even when things are disrupted. And even when God, all of a sudden, we're making a hard left turn that we were not expecting. And when we just go with it, we say, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing, and God's got a reason for this. And when our faith is flexible enough to go with God's plans, when our plan gets changed, that's a healthy faith. That's a strong faith. And I wonder tonight if God's changed our plans. And when we think about that, it could be like big plans that we had for our life and big like future plans. But you know, a lot of times it's the little plans, isn't it, that we struggle with? It's like our plans for Monday. I don't know what you have planned for Monday, right? We probably got things on our mind that we're going to do and that we're going to check off our list. And maybe God says, just you wait. Things are going to change. change. You've got your plans, and that's fine. But remember what James says, if the Lord wills, and sometimes God's will is not those plans, but these plans. Sometimes that's hard, though, because sometimes we've got it all laid out, and we're like, this is efficient, and we're going to get stuff done, and this and this. And then God says, nope, I'm going to hold you up, or I'm going to change things. And just the flexibility of faith. It says, all right, we'll go with what God has. Didn't know this was what God has, but we'll go with it. We will go with God's plans. I mean, plans for Monday, it could be just the plan we have for the next hour where God says, let's change this. Let's move this around. And we look at the Lord and go, why? I had it all laid out. And God says, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. There's the point to this. The flexibility of faith. Are we going to be flexible? Are we going to stretch our faith and truly trust God? What if instead of saying, my way or the highway, we're like, I am convinced that it has to be this way. What if we just rolled with it? Said, all right, Lord, we'll do whatever you have laid out for us. Say, Lord, I don't get it, but help me go with it. Help me to be joyful. Help me to be thankful. Help me to trust you. Joseph's this portrait of flexibility. I can't imagine what this was like for Joseph to get this news about Mary and then to have to change his plans and say, all right, this is going to be awkward, but I guess I'll put her away privately for her good and for my sake. And then he gets a message from the angel that actually it is the Messiah that she is pregnant with, and you're going to have a son and call him Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world and the Messiah. And all of a sudden, his plans are all over the place, and he goes with it. He trusts the Lord. He trusts that God knows what he's going to do, and God's got it all under control. And he gets up the next morning and goes, all right, let's do it. We'll go with God's plans. I had a plan, but we're going to go with God's today. He's just flexible. And what a great example for us. At times, we can get very rigid on our plans, and God says, let's change things. Let's be flexible. Say, Lord, we'll roll with it. We'll do what you have planned for me. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I'm thankful that we can be here tonight knowing that you are in control, knowing that you are an all-wise, all-knowing God. And Lord, many times we have plans. Lord, we know that you can change those. Lord, help us when we struggle with that. Help us to remember how great you are and help us to truly trust you. May our faith be flexible enough to follow you and to do what you have planned for us. Lord, I'm thankful that no matter what happens, we know that you love us and you have our best in mind. Lord, give us a strength in our faith. Give us a faith that is firm and fixed on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.